May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 410. Oh, for a heart prepared to sing to God my Saviour and my King, while with his saints I join to tell my Jesus has done all things well. Hymn 410.
sacred and holy word of God, we shall read together from the book of the Proverbs, chapter 21. The book of the Proverbs, chapter 21. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. An high look and a proud heart and the ploughing of the wicked is sin. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity tossed to and fro of them that seek death. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of the housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbour findeth no favour in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. And when the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. A man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man, and he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honour. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorn is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labour. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. May God bless his holy and infallible word to us and teach us to pray. O thou who art the holy author of those words we have been reading on the sacred page this Sabbath morning, we pray thou wilt now send thy Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may rightly understand and discern those truths we have read and heard in thy house this Sabbath morning. But Lord, thou knowest that without thy blessed Spirit, our worship will be vain, our prayers and praises and meditation will be dead, no honour will come to thy great name, and no good to our never-dying souls. Thus we begin our petitions this Sabbath morning with that great desire, that thou wouldst send upon us a gracious measure of thy Holy Spirit, that in the pulpit and in the pew, in the preacher and in the hearers, there may be that working of the dear Holy Ghost, that he may breathe living desires, longings after Christ, holy exercises that thou wilt answer. And do grant, O Lord, this day, that we may be like thy servant John on the Isle of Patmos, when we read he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And thus we pray it may be so. And Lord, he was in the Spirit because the Spirit was within him. And that is what we desire this Sabbath day, this Lord's day. Come, gracious Spirit, we know our hearts are unworthy of thy dwelling place. We know that we cannot purchase thee with any carnal currency. If thou dost come, it will be as a free and sovereign gift. But we are encouraged to ask. The dear Son of God, whilst here on earth, left that precious promise for us to plead, that if we, being evil, know to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And on that ground of thy faithfulness, we would come and pray that we may not be destitute of the Holy Spirit this day, that all inferior spirits which so often possess our hearts and minds may be driven out, and that we may be wholly thine by free and sovereign grace. We thank thee, O Lord, for this opportunity of gathering in thy holy name, and pray that that shed blood of Calvary, that thy dear Son so freely and willingly opened up as a fountain of mercy, may answer for our crimes, our guilt, our sin this day, and that we may be washed so clean that we may be holy as the Holy One because of what he has done for poor sinners. And do grant a holy hatred of sin to those sins which nailed the Saviour to the cross. Oh, may we hate them for what they cost that innocent one, that we might have mercy through blood. And do awaken sinners in this house of prayer who may yet be dead to these vital truths. And grant that the word of God today may be a quickening word, as a sword, or as a hammer, or as a fire, or as the seed, or the rain, or the snow, or the dew, the shower, so many different ways thy word is described. But all of them, Lord, are dependent upon the power of the Holy Ghost to give effect. And we pray for that gracious effect in the hearts and the lives of those of us who are found in thy house today. We thank thee for thy many mercies, the privilege of the house of God, and the word of God, and the people of God, and the things of God. Help us to rightly value them, rightly esteem them, Prize them while we have them. For there may yet come a day, Lord, when these things are withholden from us by those who have no love for the truth. But our Lord, do grant that we may have that within us that man cannot take from us. Oh, that blessed interest in the covenant of thy grace, and that union with God in Christ Jesus, which can never be broken. Bless each friend gathered here, and those absent ones, we bear them before thee. Pray thy rich blessing and favour upon them at this time. And bless those here this morning hour, who go from heart to heart, from pew to pew, and graciously work, we pray, bringing life where there is death, liberty where there is bondage, oh, grace where there is sin, light where there is darkness. Oh, do come, Lord, we pray, and grant that there might be much done in thy holy name within these walls this day. Do then remember us for good, and make the place of thy feet glorious, and cause thy glorious voice to be heard savingly among us. We pray, O Lord, for the gatherings of thy dear people up and down our beloved land, at home and abroad this day. The many we know and the many more we know not who fear thy name, we bear them before thee. Each of thy dear servants sent forth to labour in thy holy name. Anoint them with fresh oil and us this day, we pray. And we do pray for our own little flock and thy dear servant labouring there today. May he be abundantly blessed to them and be truly the Lord's messenger and the Lord's message among them. We pray for the afflicted, the bereaved, the sorrowing, the tempted, the tried, the cast down, the weary, and the out of the way. We especially pray for one in the sister cause at Fenstanton, our friend Susan Cooper, in her deep affliction in hospital. And pray thou wilt draw very near to her on this thy day, and make her bed in her affliction, and cause her to know that what we've been singing is true. It is true for thy dear people to prove, and may she be among those who prove it. My Jesus hath done all things well. Lord, do then draw near to her, we pray, and any other, in hospitals, those who may be on the verge of Jordan, those who may be in deep trials and troubles, fires, deep waters, disappointments, discouragement. Oh, there are so many, many things, Lord, that come into the pathway of thy dear children. And we pray that these things may be so met by thee, but that thou would overrule and undertake, and make these things fall out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. We pray for a thankful heart for thy many mercies, how abundant they are, and yet how often thankless are our hearts. We do pray thou wilt be pleased to soften our hearts this day. Give us that rare gift of repentance, that the goodness of God may truly lead us to a repentance not to be repented of. We pray for the dear children, the babes, the young people. Bless us in the Sabbath school with them this afternoon, and may it be a time of thy help. Bless those who are growing up into life and going out to meet the varying burdens of it, and those who are in the midst of it with all the many cares and concerns there are. Lord, we pray they will be pleased to graciously remember them for good, and may they be casting their care upon thee and proving thou dost care for every coming sinner. And do bless those in the evening time of life. Some, Lord, not with us today in their own homes, we bear them before thee. And as it is so evident the shadows of life are lengthening upon them, oh, that it might please thy holy majesty to break in and perform that mighty work, that they have something to live on and something to die on, something to praise thee for to a never-ending eternity. Lord, that thou art not restricted by any means. Thou canst work, I will work, thou didst say. And who shall let it, who shall hinder it, who shall turn it back? Now, Lord, it may be there is one here this morning hour is so tempted by the evil one, and so tried by what they are by nature and by what this wretched world is, perhaps tempted to give all up. Do draw near to them. Oh, do raise up a standard against the enemy. Cause him to flee. And may they know what it is to prove that when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. Bless our beloved land, our leaders and royal family. We are bidden to pray for them. We would pray for them. But how it would cheer our hearts to know that they pray for themselves. But our Lord, we have not very much evidence, if any, that it is so. And it troubles our heart to see such blind leaders of the blind in authority in our nation. Truly it is a judgment upon us. Thou hast left it to such a day when those who have the power of government are so determined to undermine our Protestant heritage and to count as a thing of naught thy holy law and to exclude those who rightly fear thy name. Lord, we never thought we'd live to see such a day, but in thy sovereign purposes we have. But, O Lord, yet appear. Hear the sighs of that little remnant who long to see better days. And may we as a nation yet be brought to our knees in repentance. And may all those things that grieve thy blessed spirit be removed. We may be a God-fearing, Sabbath-loving, Bible-loving, law-abiding nation. Lord, is there anything too hard for the Lord? But when all is said and done, Lord, time is short. Soon nations will be no more. Soon we will depart to this mortal scene. And, oh, what a mercy will be then to have that prayer answered. Oh, my God, prepare my soul for that great day. Oh, wash me in thy precious blood and take my sins away. Lord, a simple petition, but ours a mercy. The Lord preserveth the simple. May he preserve us to his own honour and glory. Amen.
Part of hymn 122. We'll sing the first 5 verses. Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love, and power that ever mortals knew, that angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set my Saviour forth. Hymn 122, concluding at verse 5.
Seeking the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention, I'll direct your thoughts this Lord's Day morning to the chapter that we read, the book of the Proverbs, chapter 21. And we shall read the very last verse in the chapter, verse 31. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. It is the last clause, particularly, that is on my spirit to speak from this morning. But safety is of the Lord. In the sovereign purposes of God, Solomon was ordained to write three books that are found in Holy Writ. They are the book of the Proverbs, in which our text is found, the book of Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon, all three divinely inspired by the Holy Ghost through his pen. And Solomon's case himself is a very unusual one. He made a very good beginning when he became king, recognizing his need of wisdom rather than anything else. And we may say the three books that come under his name are the fruit of that prayer God abundantly answered on behalf of the Church of God to the end of time. Sadly, this king who began so well, in many ways later on, walked unworthily of his throne and of the God whom he professed to serve. And yet we believe, through the testimony of God to David, that Solomon was at the end a right character, and no doubt suffered much in his conscience for the backslidings of the many years of his kingship. It's a great mercy that God does not take his mercy from those who are in the covenant of his grace. A very great mercy. They don't deserve to be preserved. And those of you here this Sabbath morning who have a hope you're in the covenant, you know very well if God were to leave you to your deserts, then you would have no hope. And be no better than Solomon in your need of grace, free and sovereign. But I want, with God's help, now to come to this word, for there is a message for us this Sabbath morning, which I hope God will give you and I the ear to hear. There are just two simple points I want to make first, and then I want to seek to understand, with God's help, how safe are God's people. Safety is of the Lord. The first thing I would say about our text is this. It does not mean, it does not right for us to infer, that we are not to use the means. A man going out to battle must prepare himself for it. It is only right and proper he should do so. But he is to remember, on the other hand, the second point, that all preparations are only successful as the Lord blesses them. You may take two examples of that, even in our natural day. If you and I are sick and go to the doctor, we expect and hope he'll have something to relieve us, and it is right and proper to use those means. But remember, they will only be successful as far as God blesses them. He must always look beyond the means to he who holds all nature in his hand, that gracious hand on which we live, has life and death at his command, and has immortal joys to give. So yes, we are to use the means, especially when it comes to our never-dying soul, the house of God, the word of God, the company of God's people, attending the means of grace. Friends, that is a command. We're not to forsake those things. But remember, when all is said and done, they'll only be effectual as God blesses them. How vital is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, to which he adds no sorrow. The second thing I would just mention by way of introduction is we are here also warned against presumption. You young ones may say, what does that mean? Well, I'll give you an example in the Word of God and one out of it. If I were to drive home to Chippenham tonight, believing our text in the head, say to the Lord, and drive home at 90 miles an hour on the wrong side of the road because I believe the Lord would keep me, that would be presumption. Remember how the devil even tempted our Lord in that way, to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple. He shall keep thee in all thy ways. Ah, how the Lord returned back on the devil. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written. Presumption is a sin, and we should be guarding against it. Of course, the example from the Word of God is that of Pharaoh, spoken of in the Psalms. Speaking of God's people, he led them on safely, so they feared not, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies. Israel had a right to venture into the Red Sea, at God's command. Pharaoh had no right. They went on in faith, he went in presumption. They were kept, he perished. Friends, beware of presumption. May God preserve us from it. For fatalism and presumption are two great errors on one side and the other. But if you have the faith of God's elect, you'll be walking a narrow line between the two. It's a very narrow line as well. But it's set before us this Sabbath morning in our text. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Now, God's servant David, the father of Solomon, had learnt a very solemn lesson in his family about this word safety. We read of the death of two of his children, and others, but two in particular. One, the child that was born of Bathsheba in that terrible day when David fell. But when that child died, what did David say? I shall go to him. He shall not come to me. I shall go to him. He believed that child was safe, that its soul was safe in glory with the dear covenant God whom he served. But a few chapters later, we hear David asking a question about another of his children. Is the young man Absalom safe? What a question. What a question. Well, he wasn't safe, was he? He had perished in his body, and his soul had sunk into eternal misery. And what did David say? Oh, Absalom! My son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son. How heartbreaking for a godly parent to see one of their offspring sink into eternal misery. Is the young man Absalom safe? Are you safe this morning, hour? If you are, it's only because the second part of our text. Because safety is of the Lord. And I hope by God's grace you'll examine yourself this Sabbath morning and ask this great question. Is your soul safe? In whose hand is it? Where have you committed it? Who has its cause in hand? Or you say, is a cause I can manage quite well myself. Can you? Can you? Do you really understand the full consequences of it? There is a holy law that's demanding perfect obedience. And if not, perfect atonement. And can you provide it? Do you realize if you are to be safe in heaven above, you need a nature fit for it? A holy nature, an upright nature, a God-fearing nature, not a nature you were born with. That would never be happy in heaven. Oh, this is a solemn thought then. Is your soul safe? What is its condition this Sabbath morning? And were you to be called hence from this time state without a moment's notice, where would your soul be found? Well, may God help us to answer this question this Sabbath morning. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Let me speak of godly David again. So many examples we could draw from that dear man's life. Go to an earlier chapter in his experience, when he went out to meet Goliath. And his language as that huge giant bore down upon him with his armor bearer, sword and spear. Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord God of hosts, whom thou hast defied. Notice, he said, I don't come before thee with 5 stones in my sling. He'd got 5 stones, so that was his prudence. Right, use of the means, but he didn't say that was his safety. I come to the name of the Lord God of hosts, whom thou hast defied, and he will give ye into our hand. And this assembly shall know there is a God in Israel. Safety is of the Lord. God guides David's stone from his sling. Goliath falls, the Philistines flee, because the battle is the Lord's. Safety is of the Lord. But one of you might ask, what is this battle? What are you speaking about? Well, friends, if you have the life of God in your soul, you will know what this battle is. Because there is a warfare going on the face of this earth between 2 opposing dominions. On the one hand, Almighty God, who created the heavens and the earth with the breath of his mouth, and who formed this earth to be inhabited, has a divine right to rule it and to command it and to overrule all that is upon it. He has a just right to the subjection of you and I. We are accountable to him. We are his creatures. And when our mortal life is done, we must stand before his throne of divine judgment. On the other hand, there is one called the Prince of Darkness. And it would seem in the day in which we're living, he has increased power in many, many ways. And a battle is being so evidently fought between light and darkness, life and death, the powers of heaven and the powers of hell, and they're warring it out on the face of this earth. Where is the battle the hottest? Where is the front line of this battle, we may say? Child of God, you know where it is, don't you? It's right in your very heart, isn't it? Where the flesh and the spirit, those two opposite things in the child of God, that that's born of God and that that is inherited from our first father Adam, which has the stamp of the children of wrath upon it. You know where this conflict is. It's within. Yes, it's without as well. We come to that. But it's largely within, isn't it? The old nature and the new fighting it out. So opposed in their desires. So opposed in their ambitions. So opposed in what they want and desire. They can never surrender and come to a false peace. It will never be. And this is a great battle. And you know what Jacob said concerning Gad? A troop shall overcome him. Imagine reading a marauding band. Gad lived on the outskirts of the land. And whenever there was an invasion, Gad was usually the first to know about it. So he often was overcome, literally. But he shall overcome at the last. And there may be many Gads here this Sabbath morning in Swaversey Chapel who have known what it is to be overcome by these marauding bands within. Pride, lust, unbelief, self-will, impatience. All these wretched evils that dwell within us by nature and rise up from time to time and show their true face. And are we not always ready to fight, are we? But oh, what a mercy when these enemies come in like a flood, if the Spirit lifts up a standard against them. The standard of the cross of Christ, the standard of the Word of God, the standard of God's gracious presence. Oh, how we need it. And how many a poor soul who, like Bunyan's pilgrim, we read, laying on his back, with Apollyon standing over him, ready, as it were, for the last fatal thrust. Oh, it seemed there could be no other end to the conflict but defeat. But ah, just at that very last moment, we read, he reached out for his sword, and in his hand it came, and that blessed word, "Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." And with that thrust at Apollyon, he fled, and Christian went on his way, battle sore, battle weary, wounded, bruised, but still alive. Ah, bless God for that. How many battles have some of you come through? Is it not a miracle? You're still alive spiritually. Still from time to time a breath of prayer goes Godward. Still from time to time you can feed on God's holy word and feel it to be yours. Still from time to time you have that blessed hope raised up. There is a God in heaven who is your God. What a miracle. After so many battles you've been engaged in, and so many times the marauding band has got the better of you. Oh, you're a wonder to many, and to yourself above all. And of course, this battle is going on also in this dying world. The world has no love for Christ or his people. And though they preach tolerance, that seems to be the word of the day, you will notice they are intolerant of the word of God and the people of God and the true gospel of Christ. Of that, they are vehemently intolerant. But they'll tolerate anything else. This is the great beast riding out of the seas. We read in the book of the Revelation. In our own day we're seeing it. So much so that that word is being fulfilled in our generation. If any man have not the mark of the beast, he will neither buy nor sell. And there are those being excluded from lawful occupation, because they adhere to the word of God and to its blessed principles. It's the mark of the beast. And we see it in our generation, and it'll become more and more evident, and to become a true and be a real believer will be more and more costly, and more you'll need this word. But safety is of the Lord. Now I want, with God's help, to give you five reasons why God's children, those born again of the Holy Ghost, those in whom this warfare is taking place, those who have been plucked, as you sung your opening hymn, as a brand from the burning, are saved. Five gospel reasons why they are saved. See if you can follow me through with this Sabbath morning. And the first reason is because of the purposes in the covenant of grace. What do I mean by that? Well, the God whom you and I adore, if we adore him aright, is a God of three persons in one glorious undivided Trinity. One God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And in eternity past, these three glorious persons engage in the most wonderful covenant between themselves that was to bring glory and honour to themselves in an eternity to come. And in that covenant it was decreed by the Father that his dear Son, his truly only begotten Son, should have a people, of whom he speaks in John 17, "Thine they were, and thou gavest them me." This people are called his bride, they are called his sheep, they are called his brethren, they are called branches, they are called stones, many different names are given. But they're all one and the same. the as many, as we read in John 17, that he should give eternal life to as many as had been given to him. This is a covenant made. And the dear Holy Ghost also enters into that covenant, determined to bring to divine life this people, that they might know their need of this provision the Father has made for sinners in Christ, and they might be brought through a precious Christ to the Father in that glorious day when he will make up his jewels, and may you and I be among them. And the covenant secures the one in our text. All other covenants are weak because of man's fallen state. Adam and Eve, they soon broke their covenant. The children of Israel soon broke the covenant of Sinai. And any covenant that depends on you and I in our poor fallen state to maintain is bound to fail. But the dear Lord Jesus Christ, blessed be his holy name, called the mediator of the new covenant, takes up the part of man in that covenant, fulfills the conditions for them, obeys God's holy law, lays down his life and ransom for many, thus securing the covenant, sealing it with his own blood. And those in that covenant are safe, eternally safe. And so David, when he came to the end of his days, lay on his dying pillow, reviewing his kingship, his family, his life, his profession. And oh, what a sad tale it was. Though he was a child of God, undoubtedly, but oh, what a sad catalogue of sin and failure in many respects attended even David's loyal and royal reign. And he knew that if he was to go to heaven on the strength of his own covenant keeping and his own works and merits, he'd never be saved. But he turns to the everlasting covenant, the one I've just spoken of. He hath made with me, says David, an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. And though his house was so different to what he wished it had been and would be, yet he laid his dying head on that dying pillow in perfect peace and confidence. He hath made with me an everlasting covenant. This is the safety of God's dear people. Spoken of in another way in the New Testament, when Peter was on the housetop of Caesarea, the house in Caesarea, and there that great sheet into the four corners is presented to him, in which were all manner of four-footed, creeping, crawling things unclean under the law. Arise, Peter, slay and eat. No, says Peter, not so, Lord, I've never eaten that. Anything's unclean. Now, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common or unclean. The sheet enclosed them all. None of them fell out of it. And at last it was received up into heaven. That was their security. That was their safety. And dear friends, if you are to get to heaven, it can only be through the covenant of grace. And in the covenant of grace, there's a provision made not only for that mediator of our dear Saviour, the one mediator between God and man, but the provision made for the Holy Ghost to quicken souls and make them cry, give me Christ or else I die. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ, are all the provisions of that glorious covenant. And so, as good John Kent puts it, the appointed time rolls on apace, not to propose, but call by grace, to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. This is the covenant of grace. It secures the election of grace, secures God's dear people, and it secures all those of whom our dear Saviour speaks. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now listen, oh, do listen. This is the voice of our covenant Saviour to every awakened sinner conscious of his need. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Blessed, glorious words from the covenant of grace. Bless God for it. So the first thing is, God's people are safe, eternally safe, because of the covenant. The purpose is in it. And not all that hell can do, or the devil, or the world, or the flesh, or their wretched hearts, can shake them out of that covenant. Bless God for it. And one more thing I would say in that covenant. There's provision made for all that you need in the day of battle. Faith, patience, humility, grace, perseverance, discernment, courage, strength. It's all in the covenant, the Puritans used to say, and we would say it too. Are you battle-weary this morning? Are you footsore? Is your poor breast bruised with Satan's attack? Then hasten to the covenant of grace. For in it you'll find the answer to all your needs as a soldier, having to endure hardness in the cause of God and of Christ. Secondly, safety is of the Lord in this respect, because God's dear people are under that blessed word, propitiation. What do we mean by that? We mean that the dear Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, in the fullness of time assumed that perfect, complete human nature, body and soul, taking the same nature of those for whom he was to suffer, bleed and die, coming under the same law, and that law of God is for that nature, not for angels, but for men. He takes that holy humanity to union with his divine person in order to fulfill all the claims of God's holy law on their behalf, to obey it in thought and word and deed, in every particular, and then to lay down his life a ransom for many. As we read in Galatians 1 verse 4, I believe it is, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. That world present within you, that world you're living in. He gave himself for our sins, says Paul, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. And that precious blood that he shed, it comes between us as poor sinners saved by grace, if indeed we know this truth. It stands between us and offended justice, between us and a broken law, between us and a tempting devil, between us and the opposition of this world. Oh, bless God for this shadow of the Almighty, this shield between God's holiness and poor guilty sinners. Of course, the picture of it is on the night of the Passover, that lamb that had been taken and separated out without blemish, and then in the night appointed had been slain, and the blood sprinkled on the doorposts, on the lintels, and those who were within the compass of a blood-sprinkled door were safe. And I ask you, dear friends, this Sabbath morning, are you beneath a blood-sprinkled door? Are you? Can it be said of you this Sabbath morning, when I see the blood, I will pass over you? Does he see you sheltering beneath it, pleading it, covered by it? Or are you seeking up some other shelter? Your denominational name, your family reputation, your natural understanding of the things of God, your good works and your good deeds, which you think you've done for God's sake and for his cause. That's no shelter. The only thing that preserved the Israelite in that terrible night was the blood on the sprinkled doorposts and the doorposts and the lintels. That was their safety. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Does he see you then, dear friend, under that propitiating blood? And of course, that word propitiation means something about God's anger. Now, in this day in which we live, we're told we're not supposed to talk about God's anger. God is a tolerant God. He's a loving God. He's a merciful God. Well, friends, he is a merciful God, and bless his name for that, but he's not merciful at the expense of justice. And justice demands a payment, Something must be done to propitiate God's anger justly against your sins and mine. And so, dear friends, it all summed up with one blessed verse in a hymn we occasionally sing. In guilt's dark dungeon where we lay, justice cried, slay, but mercy spare. Jesus answered, set them free, pardon them, but punish me. He is the propitiation for our sins, says John. He could speak of it personally. He was under the blood. Oh, that you and I might be so. You're not safe anywhere else. If any of the Israelites had ventured out in curiosity into the street that night, they would have been struck. No, only under the blood are we safe. And it's not the blood of a lamb or a bull or a goat or a sheep, of course. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. The safety is of the Lord. Oh, salvation, dear friends, is secure if we're under the blood. Under the blood. The third thing that secures the safety of God's dear people is the prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ on their behalf. And though we speak of our prayers, and yes, we should be praying people, and will be if we are God's dear children. Long as they live, should Christians pray, for only while they pray they live. But dear friends, remember what's said in John 17, that distinguishing word, I pray for them, I pray not for the world. What a distinction. There are a people for whom Christ prays, for whom he spreads his once wounded hands, for whom he laid down his life, for whom he intercedes. Yes, and that was Peter's security when, you remember, he came into Satan's sieve. Before he came into it, he was a proud Peter, full of self-importance, of his profession, and what he was going to do for Christ, and no man would outstrip him in the race. But he soon found, dear friends, that he was on a shaky, sandy foundation in that respect. But what did our Lord say before he came into the trouble? I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. I have prayed for thee. And that was his safety. It wasn't his vows and resolutions and bold profession. All that was swept away by Satan's blast. And so will yours and so will mine if Satan blasts at us, I'll tell you. But if you've got that behind you or beneath you, shall we say, I like to think sometimes that's what it means, underneath the everlasting arms. Prayers of the Lord Jesus Christ for his dear people. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when your faith seems to fail, when it's covered up in these solemn times of Satan's attack, when you can't discern your faith, when you can't even pray, let alone believe, what a mercy, child of God. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. That's your safety. I hope it's mine as well. An interest in the prayers of our Lord Jesus Christ. You have an interest in his blood. You have an interest in his prayers. If he intercedes for you above, it's because he laid down his life for you here below. Safety then is in the prayers of our great high priest. He knows exactly what we need. He makes accurate and all-prevailing intercession for you and for me, if we are indeed in this blessed covenant. This is our safety, spreading his wounded hands on our behalf. Oh, you say, but I'm a marked sinner this morning. God has marked me for my sins. You know what David said? If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, who shall stand? The child of God comes to that place sometimes. They're marked for their iniquity. And they know that hell will be their portion unless a provision's made. But see the dear Saviour's wounded hands marked, eternally marked now. With those precious wounds that even now are displayed in glory above. And those marks in his dear hands answer for the marks that God marks you and I for if we're indeed in that covenant. Blessed be his holy name. If there's a poor marked sinner here this morning, just been smitten in their conscience, feeling the rod of God upon them because of their sins, then plead the marks in the holy body of Christ, wounded hands and feet and side, blessed marks. I think one of the hymns in our books says, the wounds of Jesus for my sin. The prayers then of our great high priest are the safety of God's people. Further, fourthly, the promises of God and God's faithfulness in those promises are our safety. Think of Elijah, that man who was under threat from Ahab and Jezebel because he had made that solemn declaration, there'd be neither dew nor rain these years but according to my word. And the Lord made provision. Get thee to Cherith beyond Jordan. Hide thyself there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee. It shall be, thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And on the strength of that promise and God's faithfulness in that promise, he goes and hides himself by the brook Cherith. He's safe there. Ahab scours the land for him. Takes an oath of other lands as well, that they've not got Elijah in their midst. But the Lord hid him. That promise, you see, was fulfilled. And your safety and mine, child of God, if God has ever given you a promise in any matter, the safety is of the Lord. Sooner or nature shall change than one of God's promises fail. And if you're carrying around in your bosom this Sabbath morning a promise given by the God of our text, you can be sure it will be fulfilled. You can be sure it will come to pass. And you're safe, as it were, in that promise. Jacob had that promise, I will be with thee in all places, whithersoever thou goest. I will not leave thee to do that thing which I have spoken to thee of. That was his safety. He preserved him with the treacherous treatment of Laban. And when Esau came against him with 400 men, and in those long dark years when he mourned Joseph as dead, and then they wanted Benjamin as well, and Simeon had gone. But all the while, little did he realize that the faithfulness of God in his promises was being fulfilled. It was. At the end, he said, I've waited for thy salvation, O Lord, when he was on his dying bed. He knew where his safety was from, didn't he? Oh, the security in the promises of God. Sooner will God fall from his throne than one of his promises fail to be fulfilled. Oh, the safety there is in a promise from God's holy lip, God that cannot lie. And then finally, safety of the Lord in his presence. Wherever God is present with his people, they are safe, living and dying. There we have the disciples on the Galilean lake, and the water pouring in, the wind howling, the boat rocking. The dear Saviour asleep in the hinder part of the boat. But notice, dear friends, though he slept in his holy humanity, and it was a blessed sleep, he never laid down his pillow with regrets. It was always he'd done his Father's will. Oh, there was sweet sleep for him. But dear friends, his Godhead never slept. His divinity never slept. And he's not asleep this morning either. To you it may seem he's asleep in the hinder part of the ship. Oh, where is my Saviour? Where is that one to whom I would cry? But he's there. And you know, in answer to their prayer, you hardly call it a prayer, can you? One of the weakest prayers in the whole of Scripture. Master, carest thou not that we perish? What a weak prayer. I don't throw stones, dear friends, but it was a weak prayer, wasn't it? And yet it brought him forth with divine majesty, commanding the winds and the waves to be still, and they were at his command. Peace, be still. They were safe because he was on that boat. He was present with them. Safety is of the Lord. And the three Hebrews in the fire proved it. And many of God's dear people have proved it. Summed up in Isaiah 41, isn't it? Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. In thy presence I am happy. In thy presence I am secure. In thy presence all afflictions I can easily endure. Oh, dear friends, have you got God's presence this morning? Oh, says Moses, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. But he had that promise, didn't he? My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest, and there's your safety. Oh, when God bids his people go forward, there is their safety. When he putteth forth his sheep, he goeth before them. He's there every step of the way. Blessed be his glorious and holy name. But safety is of the Lord. Are you safe this morning? Are you safe? One said concerning God's people, they are safe in their Redeemer's hands, who bears their name upon his heart. May you prove it to be so. And seek safety nowhere else, for there is nowhere else to be saved, living or dying, but the safety is in our text. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £683, and yesterday at our Thanksgiving services, the collections for Oakington Chapel Repair Fund were £2,061. For both of these, we desire to be truly thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will address the Sunday school this afternoon at 2:30. Mr. Pocock will preach on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a reading service in the morning, and Mr. Hadley is expected to preach in the evening. Let us close with the remaining verses of hymn 122, commencing at verse 6. I love my shepherd's voice, his watchful eyes shall keep my wandering soul among the thousands of his sheep. He feeds his flock, he calls their names, his bosom bears the tender lambs. Hymn 122, commencing at verse 6.
Thank you.
cover with a mantle of thy forgiving love, O Lord, all that thy pure holy eyes have seen amiss in our worship thus far on this thy day. Be with us during its hours, gathering us around thy word. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God, the Holy Spirit's favour, rest and abide with us each, both now and forevermore. Amen.